Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn over to John and turn to John 14. We're going to jump right in here. We can move right on here. John 14. And let's look at verse 16. Well, actually, we'll start at 15. John chapter 14, and let's start in 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." That just made me stop. That he may abide with you forever. So isn't that interesting? Another, he's saying here, it's that word another is one of the same kind. So he's going to give them another comforter of the same kind. Who was the original comforter? He was. Jesus was. He was the comforter. He helped them. He guided them. He taught them. He led them. He was their comforter, and you could tell they got upset when he said, "I need to go away." He said, "But it's expedient that I go away, but it's going to be all right. I'm going to send you another comforter just like me. And he's not just going to be with you. He's going to do what? He's going to live in you." Hallelujah. So he's not just going to be with us. He said he's going to be in you. Hallelujah. So, Verse 17, he said, even the spirit of what? He's called the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But what? You know him. Hallelujah. Why? Why is that? Because he dwelleth with you, and he does what? Not only shall he's come, he abides in us. So the spirit of truth abides where? In us. So not only does the spirit of truth abide in us, the spirit of peace abides in us. Hallelujah. And let's jump down to verse 26. It says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things where? To your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. All right, John 10. Let's look at verse 3. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep, how? By name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, glory to God, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow us. Hallelujah. So he is our shepherd. We are his sheep. So, just think about that. He says here, the sheep hear my voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So this says here, he's speaking to us. So, God is talking all the time. He's speaking. And I'll say it this way, it's in order to serve him, we need to be able to what? Follow him. And in order to follow him, you got to hear him. it's critical, it's important to be able to hear him, and he's talking all the time. Sometimes we're not hearing, or if we are, we're not listening, we're not obeying. Turn over to, I want to touch on this for a moment tonight. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. You know, when we talk about, I know this, and of course, if you said something like that to the world and said, God, you know, I'm going to pray to God, you know, people get up at all kinds of award show and they say, I want to give honor to God. There's no problem, even in worldly settings, when people say, I'm going to give honor to God, all the honor to God. But when people start saying, God told me to, it's like all of a sudden there's a different response. When you start saying, God told me, he spoke to me, you know, I don't know, you get some kind of response in the world, but it's unfortunate when you get kind of a questionable response by church folk. And there's a lot of church people in Christendom that are not sure that God can speak to you. Or they're not really clear about, I'm not sure that's God. They're not sure. So that raises some questions about just Christianity in general, about why aren't they hearing God? Why are they not? And you can tell because a lot of folks in Christendom, they think that God leads by circumstances, right? Well, it must be God because this happened. So that flies in the face of Scripture, which we just got done reading in chapter 8, which says, those that are the children of God are led by circumstances, by the Spirit of God. So we are inwardly led, not externally led. We are not led externally by circumstances or situations. This happened, so it must be God. This didn't happen, so it must not be God. Well, that means I need to be led by circumstances through life to figure out what God wants me to do. It doesn't say that in the Scriptures. It doesn't say that. So, did you get to Hebrews chapter 3? Hebrews chapter 3, and let's look at verse 15. It says, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, and what? Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Go look at chapter 4, same in Hebrews. And look at verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So look what it says. It's saying, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your voice. Harden not your heart. So if we want to hear his voice, we need to keep our heart clear. Right? So that means anything that can cause this heart to be hardened can affect us hearing him. So it doesn't say, look what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, if you want to hear his voice, beg him to talk to you. It doesn't say that. And yet, folks, we all do it. We get into some hot situations and we're all going, God, speak to me. Tell me. Do something. Speak to me. He is speaking. So here, it doesn't say fast and cry out to God to hear him. And yet, there's nothing wrong with fasting, but that should not be the impetus to hear him. You know, Brother Hagin talked about this, you know, and again, I'm not here to dampen things at all. But Brother Hagin, in all the years walking as a prophet in the body of Christ, said the longest he ever fasted was for 3 days. Hello. So I'm not, sometimes we can get into following some things that sometimes I question and wonder, what's the motive behind it? And I'm not saying we shouldn't fast for longer than 3 days. I'm not saying that, but I think sometimes we need to look at the why part. Why are we doing it? If we're getting God to speak to us and give us direction, he's given us direction all the time. We need to just set some time aside and be quiet to hear him. And think about this here when it says, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So we shouldn't be working on God to try to get to talk to us. The transmitter's always transmitting. It's the receiver. It's the reception end that's having a problem. And so think about this. If you have a radio and you have a problem receiving something, is there a problem with the transmission or the signal? Usually it's the receiver. So I can put in a more powerful stuff, but if I don't get the dial set right, I'm just getting static. So there needs to be a place where I get my, if I'm not getting something clear, a signal, then I need to check some things. Is my heart right? Because what did the scripture say? It says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So sometimes unwillingness affects the reception. It's interference. You get nothing. If you're stubborn and unwilling and you're not humble, I mean, you could go down the list. It will affect and harden your heart. And it will affect the reception from God. Amen? So what makes a hearing ear is the right kind of heart. It's always back to the heart, isn't it? God is looking to have our hearts right before him. So let's look at a few things here. Let's go back over to, I wanted to look at Romans 8 again. I didn't get over there yet. I said we're going back over, but we hadn't been there yet. Let's go back to Romans, or start, get over to Romans 8, because we didn't go there yet. Romans chapter 8. Actually, let's start in verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this whole chapter really contrasts the flesh and the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, he's referred to as the Spirit of life, in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do what? They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Or you could say, I think in the Amplified, it says, they that are after the flesh do mind or set their minds on the things of the flesh, and they that are, it says, on the flesh which gratify the body, says, but those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So in other words, whatever we set our minds on, you're going to set your mind on fleshly things. You're going to set your mind on worry and anxiety. No peace. It's flesh. It's death. It's carnal. There's no divine peace. But when we set our minds on spiritual things, what does it say? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. I want you to see the contrast, because this is, the more I meditate on this, this is exciting to me. And you can't read it enough. Yeah, I read this. I can I can quote this. Good. Meditate on it and revelation will come. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So that means if I am carnally minded, no life and peace. And life, let's continue down and then we'll come back to verse 6. Because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. You won't be able to hear him. You won't be able to hear him. It's enmity. For it is subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh can't do what? So if you're not pleasing God, it's going to affect you hearing him and being led by him. No life and peace. Anxiety, worry, depression, frustration, darkness. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also what? Quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit, and I'm going to say himself, he's not a it, himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the son, children of God. Now let's go back to verse 6 again. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So let me ask this question. When we are led, when he says in verse 16 that the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit, what are we led by? Life and peace. We are led by life and peace. That life is the Zoe life of God. It's the quickening. So we are led by the quickening, and we're led by divine peace. Hallelujah. We're led by the quickening of the Spirit and the divine peace of God. Those two things should bear witness. What's bearing witness? The quickening life of Christ and his peace are bearing witness with what? My spirit. Hallelujah. So we are led, and that word, again, that word quicken, don't get stumbled on it. It's just an old English word that means to make alive, to give life. So we need to learn to follow the inward witness inside, which means following the peace and following the life. Following the divine peace, following his quickening inside. This life and peace is where inside us we are led by on the inside. Inside my spirit, we're led by his life and his peace, not from the external, not from the outside. And if we just focus on that. So let me say it this way. When the Spirit of God is leading us, life is leading us because he is the Spirit of life. Say that again. When the Spirit of God is leading us, life is leading us because he is the Spirit of life. And when the Spirit of God is leading us, then peace is leading us because he is the Spirit of peace. He's the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of peace. What is bearing witness? What is leading us? The Spirit of life and the Spirit of peace, because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to John chapter 1. We're going to look a little bit. I tell you, this is just so exciting to me. Glory to God. Look at John chapter 1 and look at verse 4. Glory to God. We could spend a lot of time here. We're just going to cover a few scriptures because we don't have time. But we could just stay here and meditate on this and shout hallelujah. John chapter 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and the what? The life was the what? Light of men. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. When I have life, I have light. That means I know what to do. I can see. You know, when I walked in, I tell you, I almost wanted to shout hallelujah. I did, but I just said, I'll hold my peace. But that last song that we were singing, God, I look to you, it just jumped at me. It said, God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Oh, yes. Give me vision to see things like you do. How am I going to get that? The Spirit of life. He's going to give me light to see things like he does. And I won't be overwhelmed. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. All her paths are peace. You know just what to do. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. So when I am led by the Spirit of life and peace, I'm not going to be overwhelmed. I'm not going to be anxious and frustrated and worry. I'm going to have peace, and I'm going to know what to do. I'm going to know just what to do because I'm going to see things like him. Isn't that not true? Hallelujah. So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So God enlightens us through life. His life, he enlightens us. Where? Right down here. And it comes up and enlightens my mind. So I'm saying, yeah, I see what to do. I know exactly what to do. You know, I'll share this. Something personal. I was born again in 1978. So you can kind of figure out. I won't give you my age then, but anyways, you know I just turned 65, so you can figure that out. Anyways, I feel like I'm 25. Because I've got the quickening of the Spirit of God in me. Hallelujah. But I hadn't been born again probably a week, less than a week. And I was at this Assembly of God church with Pastor John. He led me to the Lord, Pastor John Lipscomb. Some of you know him. And I had just come through a divorce. So I had, you know, this is personal, but it was a very difficult period in my life. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't look for it. And anybody who's gone through that, it can be very traumatic and difficult. It wasn't that I didn't handle it well. It just, there's a tearing apart of spirits when there's a divorce, and it can be very wrenching on the inside. But the Holy Ghost, when I got born again, I didn't know anybody other than Pastor John, and I tell you, I know his voice. Brother, do I know his voice? And I hadn't been at church less than a week, and I'm worshiping, and the Holy, I heard him right here. It came and illumined my thinking. He said, stay away from that person. And it happened to be a female, and I didn't know anybody. So I personally did not place myself in positions or in that, you know, people click, got around, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing I hear through the grapevine is that I'm avoiding this person. I said, bingo. Holy Ghost. He will lead you into truth. And he will guide you to who to hang out with, who not to hang out with, who to avoid, who not to avoid, who to marry, who to get jobs with, where to go, what to do. He will enlighten us through the spirit of life and peace. Glory to God. He'll let you know. Life enlightens, death blinds. Life will enlighten us, death blinds, because it's darkness. Hallelujah. John, let's go to John chapter 8. Hope you're getting a little something out of this. This is a little M-I-N-I lesson, mini. But you know, we can get a lot out of a mini. You know, it's like a little lessonette, right? A little lessonette. You know, we can get, you know, you can get your fill on a munchkin as opposed to a donut. It don't have to be the whole donut. You can get life out of a little bit because he's the spirit of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Chapter 8. Glory to God. John chapter 8. And let's look at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that what? We're talking about what? Being led. We're talking about being led by him. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Glory to God. That means we're not walking in darkness. Hallelujah. Is that encouraging? Oh, my goodness. So light is going to show us, we're going to know what to do in life. Why? Because we have the spirit of life in us who's going to enlighten us, give us light. So what? We're going to know where to go, what to do, what to buy, what to invest in, because we have light, not darkness. Darkness clouds. It blinds us. So to be carnally minded is not light. It's death. It's darkness. So when you're in worry and you're in anxiety and you're in frustration and depression, you're blinded. You're blinded to the light. You're not hearing him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How do we get this kind of light? It's through his life. His life is the light of men. Hallelujah. That's why it's important. The more I meditate on this, I tell you what can happen is, how many know this? I know you've experienced this, those that may drink water. I know some of you have an aversion to water. You may not like water, H2O, good for the body. But how many that drink water, if you drink enough water, after time you're like, I'm thirsty. I'm just thirsty. And your body begins to crave water and say, you know what, I'm thirsty, even though you're not dehydrated, but when your body gets to the point of wanting water, you are dehydrated. But it's like that with the Word of God. When we don't get enough of this, your body is, your spirit is saying, I'm lacking something. And we're lacking life. We're lacking food. We're lacking light. And the more we feed on the Word of God, the more life and the more quickening and the more peace we have. Hallelujah. So we cannot get enough. You know, we can drink too much water, but we can't drink too much of this. Can't drink too much of the Word. Let's go over to 1 John 5. We're going to wrap up here. We'll pick up again on Sunday. Hallelujah. My spirit is excited and being fed. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5. Let's first look at verse 6. It says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." We're back to again, coming back again. The Spirit beareth witness, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what he said here. And the Spirit that beareth witness, it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Where are we at? Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is what? Greater. Life is greater. Peace is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Look at verse 11. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and what? This life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. So I have life. Why? Because of his Son. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given unto us, and what? What has he given us? An understanding. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Look what that focus is. Look at what the Spirit of God is saying here. And hath given us an understanding. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So this life gives us understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All righty, I'm closing, because I got more notes and more things here, but we'll pick up again on Sunday, because this is like a train. You just unhook for now, and we pick up again. I believe there's enough. You're grasping, you're getting. I believe we're getting somewhere. I sense it. We're seeing some things a little more clearly. We are led by the inward witness, and this inward witness is life and peace. It's the Spirit of life, the Spirit of peace. You know, we keep saying this. I was sharing, somebody stopped by today, and I just shared with them, look, you are led by peace. And boy, their eyes lit up and they said, wow, that's a confirmation. Because they had been praying about something, to do something. And they said, you're right. And sometimes the more you share it in just simple ways, people can connect with. And they understand. Because they are a spirit. And they know and recognize, because God is speaking, God is bearing witness with their conscience, and a lot of times they're missing the signals. And a lot of times people are following peace. You know, you hear people say, you know, I just had a good feeling about this. What is that? That's peace. So a lot of times people are following, but they're not recognizing who it is. Or you hear people, you know, they'll say, you know, I didn't do that. I just didn't have a good feeling about that. No, they were inwardly led, but they referred to it as an external. And so we who are spiritual understand. And we are led by and follow the quickening of his spirit and peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God, bless God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm determined, convinced that I'm going to follow this more and more and be more accurate. And when things begin to, you know, because we all can do things that may affect our receiver. And so as we grow spiritually, God may say, you know what? Don't do that. And it's different for each one of us. And so we need to find out when we're not clear, what is it? What is it that we need to do to fine-tune, make adjustments? Sometimes it's just looking at something as simple as that. You see. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence here. And we thank you, Father, that these words, your words, have fallen on good ground. This seed has fallen into our hearts. And Father, we are not just hearers of your word, but we're doers. And so, Father, as we hear this word, we are committed to following after life and peace. We are committed to setting our minds on spiritual things. And as we do, we open our hearts up to be led by you. And Father, we thank you for a mighty harvest in our areas, in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.